Hey guys, this is Daniel from Better Leaders, Better Schools. I help school leaders create a winning culture, focus on the essential, and lead with courage and integrity. Today's show is number 6, where Ibe and myself unpack tips 4 through 6 from the hugely popular 200 tips for effective school leaders. Tip 4 is lead your tribe. Tip 5, establish your values and how to stick to them. And tip 6 is compromise. The blog and podcast was made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Get more content and resources at betterleadersbetterschools.com. Today's podcast is also brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/better. There's so many great books like the book Tribes, which we talk about in this episode, that you can get as a free audio download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/better. Now it's time for some 5-star reviews. Let me give a shout-out to Nehemiah7483, great inspiration for teachers and leaders. Daniel has developed a podcast designed to inspire leadership in our schools. Thank you, Nehemiah7483. I really appreciate that review. And from Dance Capades, what a fun name. Great content for a better leadership model. Many public schools are struggling with making the grade, and much of that has to do with leadership models that affect the entire organization. Guests offer valuable insights and value that will help you in your education leadership role. Thank you so much for that 5-star review, Dance Capades. It really means a lot to us. And now for the show.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer. And now for our Bauer trivia question. As a kid, Daniel loved to get dirty. Stay tuned. The answer will be revealed following today's amazing podcast.
We're back at it again. Daniel and Ibe. So some of what we do at Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, obviously we're bringing you great leaders in either schools or different industries. But then just to, I guess, add to the content that we're getting, giving you for free, we're also just digging into what's available on the blog at a deeper level. So last time we were together, we were talking about 200 tips of effective school leaders. I think we got through tips 1 through 3. So this episode, let's go through, how about 4, 5, and 6? How does that sound, Ibe? Well, let me have it. What do you got for me?
All right. So tip number 4, lead your tribe. And when I read this, I immediately had some questions for you, Daniel. Like, what is the definition of a tribe?
Yeah, you know, I'm just taking this sort of from my understanding of Seth Godin's work, but I really enjoyed the book called Tribe. So we will definitely link Tribes into the show notes so people can pick that up if they're interested. But, you know, he really just describes these group of people that have a shared interest and they're deeply passionate about some type of issue. And so they all have this commonality. So, you know, you talk about faith. Ibe and I were at church today talking about community, had an awesome talk there. We all share the same faith, and so we're a tribe in that sense. With Better Leaders, Better Schools, I think this tribe is all about self-improvement, self-development, wanting to get better, be the best type of leader you can be. So tribes are just a common group of people that are linked together through a very specific interest that they share.
Sweet. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So when I think of the word tribe, I go back to elementary school, and this might sound a little bit ignorant, I'm sorry. But anyway, I go back to middle school and think about learning with Native Americans. That's my first real interaction with the word, and thinking of like a chief and like a sort of structure. Does Seth talk about there being a hierarchy, or is it just a group that's a more democratic thing?
Right. I think I'm going to look up the title of this book with tribes, because I want to say it says something about you need to lead us. Yeah, tribes is we need you to lead us is sort of the tagline for his book. And so it's not like, you know, an organization where it has some sort of hierarchy where, you know, you report to this person and they kick it up the chain to that guy to make this type of decision that's important to the tribe. I think there can definitely be horizontal leadership within a tribe, but the main idea that Seth is trying to get across to everybody is that there's people that are intensely passionate about all sorts of issues. And so he's really trying to inspire you, the reader, to step up and to lead. And so it's about how do you lead a group of people that share that common interest? Not, again, that it has to be this formal sort of hierarchy, but it's just that, okay, we all are intensely passionate about school leadership, so somebody step up and lead. And that's what we're doing with Better Leaders, Better Schools. There's a ton of people that want to get better in terms of school leadership. And so through the podcast, through the blog, we just provide a ton of great free content to hopefully push the envelope in people's personal development.
So building on that, a tribe consists of multiple people. And how does one go about creating that? So how do you go about finding other like-minded people that share those same passions that you might have?
Yeah, I'm really glad you actually bring this up, like how to find other like-minded people, because in some very real ways, I felt like I was hitting my head against a brick wall here in Chicago. Now, there's a ton of great school leaders here, but for whatever the reason may be, I wanted to have all these type of leadership discussions, talk about and be vulnerable. Here are the obstacles that we're facing as leaders. Here are some of the barriers we have for our students achieving success. And I don't know if it was busyness and schedule or whatever. It was just really hard to get people together to have those discussions on a regular basis. So I thought, well, if it's not going to work for me in Chicago in terms of creating this group and just learning from each other and developing together, then I'm going to expand my view and not just try to reach out to Chicago, but actually the world. And so that's why I launched the website. That's why I launched this podcast. I've had experience working in South Africa with teachers and administrators. So I know I can connect on an international level. And I've had a blog before in the past that was about faith, and I had an international readership. So I thought I would just start this Better Leaders, Better Schools thing, put it out there. And I had the premise that if it was high enough quality that people would resonate with it and start to connect. And then just doing it consistent was important, and to offer it for free. So that's what I've been doing, and just reaching out sort of using the web. It's just a great way to expand your reach, your networking, and connect with people from all around the globe.
Great. So if you were a teacher, though, and you had a passion about, Daniel, give me an idea. Give me a sample thing that you have a passion about.
Let's just stick with leadership, you know, just trying to get better in terms of working with people. If you wanted to niche down from further from there, you could even think about how you develop relationships and have hard conversations when you have to hold people accountable.
So the idea that if you're a teacher with that passion, first look at your local network, and if it's still not working, to think beyond and maybe even virtual.
Yeah, I knew that this is something I'm incredibly passionate about. And whenever I write a blog or do these recordings with you, Ivy, and the other guests, like, this doesn't feel like work. I mean, it's work in the sense that I gotta think about what I want to do, put it on the schedule, and make sure I carve out time to say it's important to me. But it's actually really fun that once we get into it. And so in terms of you know, where do you find your network and what do you do there is, start around you first and see if you get some traction. But there's so many tools and resources. Identify what those are and then just go after it. For me, I was an English major, so I love to write, and having a website makes a lot of sense. I also myself like listening to podcasts a lot, and I'm hoping that people really connect with this podcast. But some people, like, I haven't really broken into YouTube. You know, I don't really do a lot of videos. Periscope is hot and fresh. I'd like to be more active in Instagram. So there's tons of ways to connect with people with social media these days. And so find your passion point, and then find also like how you like to communicate, and then just go for it. People will connect.
Yeah, Daniel, I really enjoyed this conversation a lot, and I can definitely relate to these insights. For me, I'm really passionate about working with kids and being able to help minimize or close the educational disparities that exist, at least in Chicago. You can kind of track it, see it when you look at the distribution of zip codes. And for us, I just actually got done with a career expo that hopefully we'll talk about in several episodes.
Maybe episode number 8.
Oh, wow. but anyway, I was able to be part of a group that had very different strengths, but we all had the same goal. We all had the same passion, which was loving kids and helping them be able to see themselves 20 years from now in really exciting careers. So that's an example of a tribe that has really resonated with me. So now, talk about tribes. Let's go ahead and go to next tip. The next tip is establishing your values and sticking to them. So, Daniel, can you talk a little bit about the importance of value consistency, of having a set of values and maintaining them throughout day-to-day life?
Yeah, you know, people talk about this in terms of shiny object syndrome, and there's so many great resources out there and great ways to improve your own leadership. Different types of values that really work for specific types of companies. But at the end of the day, through a different, you know, set of exercises and working with executive teams and the staff at large, you got to nail down what are your most important values for your tribe, for your group, for your organization. And that focus is essential, because if you have too many values, or if those values change too frequently, you're really going to become a less efficient, less effective leader, and the focus is just going to be off. So consistency is key. Better leaders, better schools. If I didn't stay on point in talking about self-growth, emotional wellness, and health, you know, those are sort of my focus points in terms of better leaders, better schools. If I started talking about just what works in terms of reading strategy, that would... Now, I could talk about it, but that's not, you know, what I set out in terms of the value of better leaders, better schools. And when you start getting off message, people get confused. And then in terms of consistency, too, if I made decisions for the website and podcast that were not true to my values, that would compromise everything we're trying to do. And so it really should be a great filter for any decision that you make within an organization. Is it aligned to my values and stay consistent? If it's not, you're going to pass up opportunities that are actually very good and could benefit the organization. But if they're not aligned in the values, they're just not the greatest opportunities for your organization.
Yeah, well said. And so, you know, Daniel, you're an educator in addition to an entrepreneur.
Hey.
So can you talk about an experience working in, because you've worked in a variety of school settings and have a lot of experience and exposure in this. But just kind of talk about how it's been essential for you as an educator to have like values and being consistent.
Yeah, I'd give you a really specific example in terms of how some of the schools I've recently worked at have been organized. I'm a big, big believer in professional learning communities. And if you don't know anything about those, we'll definitely link up some resources about PLCs in the show notes. But basically, they are a non-traditional way of organizing your school where you get staff members to really rely on one another to collaborate on everything, agreeing on what's most important to be taught in the class, designing assessments together so we can agree on how we're going to measure if students are actually learning and understanding. And then the key ingredient is then having the vulnerability to come together and say, here are my results from the assessment. These kids did well, these kids did poorly, And, you know, you may or may not do better than the teachers sitting next to you. But that's not the point. The point is there's kids that did well. There's kids that did not do well. And through professional learning communities, you offer intervention and acceleration to, in a traditional model, you say, I taught this unit. It started on day one. It's now day 14. The kids should have learned it, and we're moving on. In the professional learning community model, you do not move on until kids understand the material. So the kids that get it, they get pushed further or learn new things. And the kids that were challenged, you slow it down for them, offer different experiences with the learning materials so that you don't move on until they get it. Now, that's a long-winded way of saying, like, that's a value. And some of the ways organizations I've worked in have missed this is in terms of hiring. And people look great on paper. You know, we've always had tremendous applicants for teaching positions in my schools. But early on, we didn't necessarily have a good way to gauge, are these truly collaborative people? Because a lot of people, it's much easier to work on your own. You have your own idea of what works and what doesn't work. And if you're not working with others, then nobody messes with your kingdom, so to speak. And so everything's okay. But when you bring other people into the mix, things start to get messy. It starts challenging your communication style and how everything works out. And so if you hire people that are intensely independent as opposed to collaborative, that leads to disaster in a professional learning community type school. So that'd be just a very specific example of how essential it is to having values, and in this case, hiring for those same values.
Well, that was really interesting. I've never heard of professional learning communities before this very podcast. So
check it out. It's the best way to organize your school.
Please allow me to pause here to identify today's podcast sponsor. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/better. That's www.audibletrial.com/better. On this podcast, we highlight a ton of great books that every school principal, school leader should check out. And if you're busy like I am, a great way to continue to get the information in these resources identified by the different leaders I interview is by being on the go and listening to the audio version. So check out Audible today. That's www.audibletrial.com/better to get your free audiobook and 30-day free trial. And now back to the show.
And so building on that, so when you establish a value, how does that relate to boundary setting? Because it's easy to have a brainstorming session and say, these are our values. But then there's this critical part of being able to reflect and say, well, this decision that we're making, this is off base with where our values are, or where are we at in terms of our organization regards to our original values. And so how does boundary setting kind of fit into this whole process?
Yeah, well, here again, going back to the hiring thing, you're going to pass up on some really incredible teachers that allowed to work on their own are extremely effective, right? But if you're building a school that the foundation is collaboration, vulnerability, learning from one another, maybe I'm the best in this unit, in this type of standard or whatever, but I need help over here. People that are fiercely independent and feel a sense of accomplishment, they might have a hard time asking for help. And so that's just a really great example, I think, of in terms of boundaries, passing on, let's say, a Golden Apple winning teacher who is recognized for incredible instruction. But if they don't fit the model of collaboration and asking for help, it's just not going to be the right fit in the end. So, you know, again, that's an example for hiring. But in terms of boundaries, any values you have, it's a simple yes or no, because it's either aligned or it isn't. If you're trying to massage whatever opportunity is in front of you to fit your values, guess what? It doesn't fit. And so you have to say no. But we get caught up in that all the time. And you know, I heard it explained this way too. If you're presented with the opportunity and the answer is not a hell yes, then the answer is no. So like, you know, IB presents me with opportunities all the time that are like, well, you know, okay, now I'm just playing. But, you know, there are opportunities that come in our lives all the time that are just, they're mediocre. They sound pretty good. And they might be a nice thing to participate in, but they're not something you really just want to go all in for. Then just say no. Say no so that you can say yes to all the things that you can go all in for. Like, that's how to live. That's living out your purpose, your passion, and your values.
Yeah, this has been a really fun discussion so far. And what Daniel's saying really resonates with me because oftentimes we often think about when it comes to schools that to be the best schools, you need to get the best teachers, right? But that's not necessarily true. Your values really, it's all about finding fit. And being in medical school, one of the things that I'm learning is that I go to the University of Chicago, so we attract some of the best of the best. And when you're on the other side, and when you're actually evaluating applications, you get to really clearly see Pritzker as a very distinct value. They are looking for a specific type of applicant. So you might have applicants that have near perfect MCAT, you know, standardized testing scores, right, but not be the right fit. But when you are able to have your course of the values you adhere to, it really kind of dictates your decision. That's what it should do.
Let me switch things up a little bit and ask you a question then. So in terms of going to medical school at University of Chicago, is it called Pritzker Medical School? Or?
Yeah, Pritzker School of Medicine.
Okay, so you said that, you know, all the applicants are incredible, and I could believe that, trying to get into University of Chicago graduate school. But what are some of those values that the School of Medicine has?
So I think that one big value is we have a very small class size. We're very intentional about it, a class of 88. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to create a family environment. So that, and a key part of that is collaboration. So we're not really a big fan of people kind of doing their own thing. You oftentimes seeing students coming together with different groups, working together, whether it's an academic or community pursuit. Second thing is that we take advantage of the fact of our location. We are located squarely in the South Side, surrounded by communities that are not as privileged as others. And so we want to have a community service ethos. Okay. So we want people to really be not afraid to interact with the community and to establish some long-lasting partnerships. So those are just a couple examples. You can tell really quickly from an application, what kind of values a student has.
You know, and that reminds me, too, from the Global Leadership Summit. I don't know if you remember the day two speaker, number one, Horst Schultze, who helped lead the Ritz-Carlton and then a different other hotel group. And it, you know, he was able to put into both cultures just such a high commitment to the top personal service, customer service that you could create. And one of the points that really had me laughing was they had like this, I don't know what to call it, list of 21 important values to the company. And he would review one with his group every single day. They were all very aware of what those 21 values were. So it seemed counterintuitive, like, come on, boss, we've heard it before. And you're afraid, too, that maybe it'd turn into the Charlie Brown teacher, like, want, 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 like people would stop listening. But he says everybody knows what Coca-Cola is, yet they still buy advertisements. And so I think, like, the key point that I took away from that talk was just reiterating and communicating your values every single day, every opportunity you get, until it gets stuck and ingrained in the culture.
Excellent. So the last tip we're going to talk about is compromise. I think actually really has an interesting relationship with setting values. And that's actually the first question I'm going to ask Daniel. What is the relationship between establishing core values and compromise?
Well, you know, I wrote on the blog that in kindergarten you learn that you can't always have it your way. Remember that boss is just a title. It doesn't mean that you always get to have your way. So in terms of your values and compromise, sometimes you have to dig deep and really communicate well to see how others in your organization are viewing the same situation. Because you may see it as something misaligned with your values, but your folks may see it a completely different way. And through the communication process, you can get a common understanding to make sure that you're making a decision that's best for the students, for the faculty, for yourself, you know, for the organization. So I think communication is key there. But just going back to the idea of compromises, you really have to have this leadership style of abundance. Today, we'll go back to church. Ivy wasn't there, not because he skipped, but because he volunteers in the high school ministry. And so he didn't see this message. And let me relay it to him and to you, the listener. And it's not, you know, I'm not trying to convert you here. The idea was that there's people that view the world and its resources from a scarcity point of view and one of abundance. And if you take that in terms of leadership, it's really important that you see your time, your feedback, the resources in your school, everything as a perspective of abundance. Because if you have a perspective of scarcity, you're just going to be the lid on top of your organization. When you have a viewpoint of abundance, your hands are wide open as opposed to fists that are closed. And if you just can visualize a person, one has his hands open to you and one has his fists closed, which one are you going to approach? So be a leader of abundance. And compromise is sometimes a part of that. You're not always going to get what you want. But if you have that right perspective, it's really going to serve you well as a leader.
That's really good. And as a well, I guess I still am a student, but as a former middle school student, this topic actually made me think about, well, it took me back to my middle school days. And so, Daniel, I'm asking you as an educator, is it a good idea to compromise with students or not really? I wish they did.
You know, that's just so specific to the situation. I think you should always have a sense of compromise approaching every situation, or at least going to every situation, I think I should say, with open ears and not to have your mind already made up. But again, aligning all your decisions according to your values. And sometimes, too, we're talking about students now, you bring in the idea of experience. So if you've had open ears and you've really listened to where the student is coming from, but you know where you want the student to be going, and experience has shown you that they need to be pushed in this way. And then people are going to fight being pushed and challenged. But if you think of, I don't know if you're familiar with the zone of proximal development, but if things are too easy for somebody, they're just going to stagnate, right? If they get too challenged outside of their comfort zone, they're also going to give up. But there's this really nice medium where you're just at the edge of accomplishing everything you've been able to accomplish before, but now being stretched just a little bit. That's where growth happens. You know, you connect that to building muscles to something I don't know too much about, but you know, you lift and it rips your muscles apart. And so when I do work out, I lift heavy and I'm extremely sore for a couple of days. But what the body's doing is the muscle got ripped through the exercise. It got stretched. And then the body starts to rebuild itself even bigger and better than it was before.
And Daniel, you were actually talking to me a couple of weeks ago, I think at Leadership Summit, about ways to develop students where you're not getting yourself in a situation where you're trying to save them, right? So they make a mistake and you're trying to bend over backwards while help them while still having 20 million things to worry about. You talk about like the locker story.
Oh, that's good old Tierra. And yeah, this this connects to leadership too, because everyone's going to come to you for their questions to be answered. And if you don't have boundaries in this sense, everyone's going to always come to you for solutions as well. And you don't want to be the stopgap in your organization, the bottleneck where all decisions must go through you. You need to delegate responsibility, build into your people, and pick them back up when they fall. But the way this connects to a student, this became an approach I had for classroom management and now leadership as well. And there's some phrases around it, and maybe we'll get into that deeper in another podcast. But the general idea was I realized that I was getting increasingly frustrated and angry and impatient with students because I was running around doing everything for them. And I had this mindset that they needed me because they were 11 or 12 years old. I was teaching sixth grade at the time. And I heard this teaching. It was actually about parenting, and I applied it to the classroom. And Tierra one day, three quarters through the year, Mr. Bauer helped me open my locker. And, you know, this is right before class is supposed to start. You got 30 kids in the classroom already. Half of them are strangling each other. You know, guns are drawn. Food is getting thrown all over the place. No, but you need to start class, and, you know, that's important. And I don't. Last thing I want to be doing as class starts is running into the hallway, opening a locker for the 1,000th time. And so this parenting thing taught me to look at that student and genuinely and compassionately say, oh, no, Tierra, like your locker is locked? Well, what are you going to do? And just that phrase, oh, no, what are you going to do, shifted the ownership and power in the relationship and the responsibility of who needs to solve the problem. And by communicating that in a compassionate way, Tierra heard me say, I'm not going to open your locker, but I do care about you, and I think you are smart enough to figure out the solution for this particular problem. So I said, oh, no, Tierra, what are you going to do? And she looked at me with these beautiful eyes. She said, I'm going to go outside, and I'm going to try again. Is it okay if I'm a few minutes late to class? And this was from an 11- or 12-year-old, and I was just, like, floored. And so after I picked myself up off the floor, I said, Tierra, go to the locker, check it out, and it's totally fine if you're a few minutes late. She ended up figuring it out. She didn't need my help. Class started off well. She came into class a few minutes late, and everything was perfect from then.
That's awesome. And as we conclude the compromise talk, one of the things I love that you talked about is this shifting the power differential. So, Daniel, you're an educator. You're assistant principal. And you can talk about it from either side, either teacher side or the administrative side, but when there's a power differential and you're trying to achieve a compromise over an issue, what are some key things to think about?
That everybody's going to die and you're really not that important. You know, when we get so full of ourselves and titles and power and all that, like, it's just going to be a mess. And if you ever try to use power or authority to persuade somebody to make a choice, they may do it begrudgingly, but that's never going to change into long-term influence, I think, is what I want to say there. And so even when you're the boss, you need to take on the towel, put it over your arm, and be a servant, and ask people how to serve them and how can you best resource them, remove obstacles and barriers, or do whatever so that they can be just so effective in their job. If you act as a servant towards your people, even though that you're the boss, the leader, you're going to be so well received as a result of that.
All right. Well, I've learned a lot in these past 25 minutes. I don't know about you guys, but just to kind of summarize, and I wanted to have a list of takeaways that we can use moving forward. We first talked about leading your tribe, right? And we define a tribe as a group of people that have a very similar mindset, very similar passion. Things are all converging, and it can take on various forms. It could be horizontal in terms of power structure. It could be vertical, but it really pushes the envelope, and it really can create long-lasting change for your organization. And we talked also about establishing values and the importance of value consistency. And I love this because it actually makes it easier to make decisions, right? Because if you set a core values, then it allows you to really look at decisions and evaluate how does this match up with what we originally set out to accomplish and what we value is really important. And that's really important whether you're in a school, in a hospital, or other institution. And then finally, we talked about compromise, and there's a lot of things that go into that. And I think that one of the things Daniel said that I really liked a lot is understanding that, especially if you are the administrator, understanding that it's really best to approach those kind of conversations with a servant mentality and being able to put yourself in their shoes and think about it from their perspective while still not sacrificing your core values, right? That's the key. We don't want you to get run over here. But that's the key to be able, approaching that with a servant type attitude can cultivate respect, mutual respect between the parties that can lead to long lasting. So Daniel, as we conclude, what is today's weekly call to action?
Yeah. Well, I think one thing I want you to do is text the word phrases, PHRASES, to 33444. If you haven't already, I've prepared a free gift for you. And I wasn't expecting that question that led us to how I interacted with that child in the locker. But if you text phrases to 33444, it's a free 10-minute or less MP3 with 15 phrases that have really served me well as a leader over all the years, different leadership positions I've held. So I think a great call to action would be grab that MP3, download the phrases, reflect on them, and think about how you can integrate that into your leadership life. In addition to that, if you notice that we talked a little bit about the Global Leadership Summit today, and so if you go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/report, I created a report based on all the key insights that I learned from the Global Leadership Summit this year. So I want to get that to you as well. You can get that from the website. That's betterleadersbetterschools.com/report. Well, thank you for listening to today's show, episode number 6, which was a discussion of tips 4 through 6, the 200 tips for effective school leaders on the betterleadersbetterschools.com blog. Don't forget to check out the show notes at betterleadersbetterschools.com. You can just search tips in the search box, and the podcast and the blog post will come up. In the show notes, we link different type of resources that we talk about on the podcast episode, any books, any materials, any resources will all be linked there in the show notes. So it definitely is a benefit to you to check that out. I've prepared a free gift for all the Better Leaders, BetterSchools.com tribe and family. And you can get this gift for free by texting the word phrases, that's PHRASES, phrases to 33444. So if you text the word phrases to 33444, you'll get a free MP3 download that is under 10 minutes. All it is the 15 phrases that have really served me well over the years in a variety of leadership capacities. So please grab that gift for free. Let me know what you think about it. Please rate and review the show, too, in iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. That's just a great way of showing your appreciation, and it helps the Better Leaders, Better Schools blog and podcast stay relevant. If you'd like to get a hold of me, you can email me, daniel@betterleadersbetterschools.com. I read every email and will reply. I cannot guarantee how long that'll take, though. Get quite a bit of emails. And you could also send me a tweet @_betterschools. Very active on Twitter. Would love to connect with you there as well. In terms of the trivia question, the answer is absolutely no. I hate getting dirty. And in fact, when I was a kid, I would wash my hands compulsively because I just could not get them clean enough. And so playing in dirt, playing in sand, mud, ugh, all that was disgusting to me. I have since grown to appreciate a little more dirtiness, I guess. But, you know, a good rule of thumb in terms of me, keep it clean.
So I hope you enjoyed episode 6. We'll see you. Same better place, same better time.